Welcome to the Catholic Cafe, where Catholic truth is served fresh daily. We've made you a reservation in the luxurious corner booth, so come on in and see what's on the menu today. Now, here's your host, Deacon Jeff Drzemski.
Greetings and welcome to the Catholic Cafe. I'm Deacon Jeff, sitting in the luxurious corner booth of the Catholic Cafe, all decked out in green and red. It's Christmas.
You actually are. Merry Look at that.
Yeah, I know. Christmas. Green and red. Yes, absolutely.
He really is. Look
there's,
at that.
Yeah, no, there's nothing cooler than like a deacon in an ugly Christmas sweater. But here we are.
Ho, ho, ho.
Yeah, exactly. So we've made it to Christmas. And so this is an ever-joyous occasion. Christmas is certainly for everybody, but even more joyous because I'm joined here by Venerable Tom Dorian.
Hello.
And, of course, Ziggy Rodriguez is here.
That's me.
So the gang is here, and we are going to have a good time today. So we just finished, first of all, Advent. We just finished Advent and
yes.
celebrated Christmas, and I hope everyone's Christmas was beautiful. We all welcome Jesus into the inn of our hearts.
Yes.
Yes. And so, and then also, we were at the same time as Advent was kind of trucking along there, we were doing a four-part series on the transcendentals. We were talking about finding God through truth, beauty, goodness, and unity, and did a show on each one of those topics. And as they related and how we can relate to God in that way. And really, for those people struggling with the existence of God, and if they even believe in God, how to have God in their life and how to live a godly life, as it were. And so these transcendentals are wonderful ways to discover God, to evangelize about God, and really to bolster your own faith. And so we told you at the end of the last show that we had like kind of a bonus episode.
Yes.
So this is like a Christmas gift episode. So you've already opened up all your presents, but you have one more to open up.
Right.
And that is this we're going to do a fifth transcendental, which I don't want to be heretical, and I don't want to say something that like, well, you know, Thomas Aquinas had nothing on the Catholic Cafe. I'm not saying that at all. What I am saying is, though, that
I'm telling somebody.
I'm telling you. No, they're already hearing this now. They got their finger over that button.
We've got some angry philosophers.
Yeah get, like, typing, get
typing away.
They're
right.
All perked up.
But philosophers don't know how to use any kind of technology, and so they're not able to email or text or anything. But anyway, all that aside, I want to spend more time talking about this. But I do want to say that we're going to spend some time talking about something really. It's something, I guess, Sam came over you in a Holy Spirit kind of way and made you see something that maybe you hadn't thought of before.
Yeah, so I've been doing some prayer journaling, right? And so I've been meditating for quite a long time. That's a big part of my life. And I turned to an interim spiritual director to give me some guidance. Mine was unavailable for a while for some health reasons.
It was Dwayne The Rock Johnson,
yes,
right?
It is Dwayne The Rock Johnson.
Oh, we shouldn't say that. We shouldn't say that. I'm sorry. It's a personal, private thing. Sorry about that.
So he encouraged me to do some...
Sounds like a HIPAA violation.
So he encouraged me to start journaling, which I had never done before. And God really started using that for me fruitfully, where he was taking my prayer life in some really unusual directions. I was getting some... inspirations in prayer that I started recording, and this actually, so there was a prayer entry that, and I'll share at the end of the show, where presenting simplicity as a transcendental of the transcendentals, and this actually kind of was the thing that gave birth to us having our Advent series, because I presented it to Deacon Jeff, and we had a back and forth of saying, you know, we haven't actually explored like truth,
let's
beauty,
be honest,
goodness,
when you
unity.
Told me, I said, oh, that's stupid. That's what I said. Because I have to be sold on these ideas.
Yes.
And actually, I'm teasing. I didn't say that's stupid. But, you know.
You call me a big dumb dummy.
It was virtual.
But, yeah. But I will say that as you started talking to me, see, my brain started working on that too.
Yeah.
Not in the same way yours was, or your heart, in a spiritual way. But my brain started thinking, like, this would be a great avenue for those who are agnostic, atheistic, mm-hmm. Secular, not worried about God, too young to worry about their end of days and all that kind of stuff. And it's like, in those families that are struggling with kids that have kind of fallen away from any kind of faith. And I thought, that's actually, these transcendentals would be a great way to kind of discover God, right? So finding Absolutely. God in truth, beauty, goodness, and unity. And then you started laying on me this whole like the Rodriguez theology of simplicity. Oh, well, we're going to start a movement. We're going to start a movement. And I started thinking that's actually profound, because I love how you said a transcendental to the transcendentals.
Yes.
So it's like a way to the transcendentals.
It's a synthesis of the transcendentals. Yeah. I'll kind of unpack that a little bit. But and I will say also doing the Advent series and doing this exploration with you guys has also helped me grow in my understanding of what I was kind of originally receiving in prayer. And specifically, something that came to me as we were working our way through this series was the relational dimension of the transcendentals. You know, we hit that straight on with beauty, right? And there's that quote by St. Thomas Aquinas, that beauty is the joy experienced by the heart when the soul glimpses truth, right? And so that's relational insofar as you have God moving the heart through beauty, right?
He is, again, in simple terms, you can know God in beauty.
Yes, you can know God in beauty. So it's a relational. He is communicating himself to us through beauty. And then truth, we talked a lot about in our truth episode about that tie between truth and logic, right? Where like logic is the structure and language of truth. It's the thing that makes it possible for truth to be communicated. What do we have in the Trinity? We have three persons, one God, right? And so the notion of just saying like there's truth but no logic, it doesn't make sense, because obviously there's going to need to be a communication of that truth between the persons of the Trinity, and truth itself is structured in such a way to be communicated. So truth itself is relational by its nature. And then unity is an integrated oneness, right? We talked about that. I mean, it's relational even in art in terms of like how all the pieces fit together, but it's especially relational with persons, right? And especially the persons of the Trinity. But it speaks to that integrated oneness where we can all unite our wills to God.
But right? What about goodness?
That was tricky. Like, we didn't actually talk about the relational dimension of goodness in that episode. It was actually, there's a podcast called New Polity that I've been listening to. And that they really helped me. Actually, they did a beautiful extended series.
The two Andrews.
No, yeah, it was Andrew Findlay and Andrew Willard Jones. And Andrew Willard Jones is the one who he's a professor at Franciscan University Steubenville, and he presented a lot of this. And it really helped ground me in how goodness was also relational, right? And so the reason like it was hard for me to see why goodness is. Relational in itself is like goodness. If you're going to give like a philosophical definition of it, it's perfection in being, right? Well, God is sufficient unto himself in his perfection and goodness. I mean, he's good. You know what I mean? Right. Like, he doesn't need anybody, right? And so, like, but here's how I started seeing goodness in a relational way, including the transcendental of goodness, which is, and this is another St. Thomas Aquinas quote, man is a natural being with a supernatural end. And they had just a beautiful reflection over a period of episodes unpacking that, what it means for everyday life, including things like politics. But man is a natural being with a supernatural end. So we all have this desire to transcend ourselves in a way, right? And this can a lot of times lead to sort of like self-aggrandizement, right? Like really, yeah. You know, oh, I want to go out, I want to make money, I want to be famous, I want to conquer, you know what I mean? Like going back throughout
but
history.
But it's born out of there's a good desire, though, to make, like, to have meaning and purpose in your life.
Yes!
And the problem is, though, some people see that as like, well, then certainly that means that because once I've attained power and have all this property and I'll be known as a really good guy.
Yes.
And that's the problem, is it turns it into self-aggrandizement.
That's right. And because man is a natural being with a supernatural end, this is what Andrew Willow Jones helped, zero in on. There's a paradox in Christianity. To transcend ourselves, we must humble ourselves. We must receive grace to be perfected. We have to receive it from above to be brought to perfection. And so, you know, through God, we transcend ourselves in the quiet context of the mundane, right? So like the easy example that most are familiar with would be like Therese in the little way. But it's expressed also in little ways throughout Scripture. Like, for example, the moment our Blessed Mother received Christ in her womb, what did she do? In haste, She goes to her cousin Elizabeth, who's 6 months pregnant, and, you know, not to go and say, hey, look at me. I have, you know, Jesus within me. Look, what a big deal I am. She was showing up to serve. Mm-hmm. She was showing up to just do the humble chores of domestic life because her six-month cousin was, you know, at that point, was far along enough in her pregnancy where she needed that help. So our Blessed Mother receives Jesus, and in haste, what does she do? She lowers herself to serve.
So you might accuse me of a little spoiler alert here, but that sounds like in these simple, mundane tasks,
yes,
that we're able to find God in this way.
Right. So that relates us back, now that we kind of established that relates us back to simplicity as a transcendental. But before we go any further, like something to say just sort of philosophically, right? Like the thing about transcendentals is they're supposed to be sort of, they're eternal attributes of the divine, right? So truth, beauty, goodness, unity. That's part of what makes a transcendental a transcendental. And so we've talked about how God is truth, beauty, goodness, unity. But then the question becomes, like, is God himself, is he simple? Is there a simplicity to God?
Now, sometimes we hear simpleton, right, and we think that's a negative.
Right, right. Exactly. That's true.
But I like thinking of simplicity or simple as in essence.
Yeah, well, yeah. So with God, his essence and his existence are one and the same.
Yeah.
Right? He is the sheer act of to be itself. And so, like, if you remember on our truth episode, we talked about the principle of sufficient reason, you know, that it's the basis for science, but it also points to God. That principle being, if it exists, there must be a reason for it. If it exists, there must be a reason for it. You wouldn't have science without that principle. But what does that principle point to? If it exists, there must be a reason for it. It points to God, he as the uncaused cause. And sort of like by nature, the uncaused cause has to be simple, the great I am. Like, it's why it doesn't point to, you know, a pantheon of Greek gods on Mount Olympus, right, and stuff like that. It points to the great, because then the question becomes, well, where do those guys come from? You know what I mean?
Yeah, one, I mean, in reality, one is more simple than 1,000, right?
Right.
I mean, just there's a simplicity, an appointedness to,
yes,
I am.
Yes.
Which is how God gave us his name.
Yes, and so it's actually, divine simplicity is actually a traditional Catholic teaching, you know, and part of that is he doesn't have, like, there's not like a separation between God's will and God's intellect like there is for us and for like the angels. He's simply God. He is the sheer act of to be itself. And so, of course, there's a paradox of divine simplicity, right? Because it's like, on one hand, it is impossible for us to fathom all that God is, right? On the other hand, God is love. Right. Yeah. I mean, like, they're both things are true. There's and so if the transcendentals are relational, if these are the ways in which God communicates himself to us, how is God's simplicity relational? And so the definition that I'm proposing here is that simplicity as a transcendental, as a synthesis of the transcendentals, I'm gonna define it as a pure and accessible distillation of who God reveals himself to be. And so, like, we can relate this, like you were doing, to the process of our sanctification earlier. You know, we humble ourselves to seek perfection. As we humble ourselves, we're being drawn ever closer into that simplicity of who God is. And so when we humble ourselves, what are we doing? We're seeking to surrender, not control. Like we have this desire for us for control. And that's one of the big reasons that we're so complicated and why life gets complicated. Does God seek control? No, he gave us free will. He gave us free will. So we seek control because we fail to trust him and his permissive will. We fail to trust, so we try to take what we don't have. So what if we refocus on receiving, surrendering, trusting? You know, what if we look at our Lord's example? He emptied himself, took on the form of a slave. This is our Christmas episode. Look at the circumstances of his nativity.
His humble birth, yes.
His humble birth. He was born in a manger, you know. What was his first beatitude? Blessed are the poor in spirit, for the kingdom of God is theirs. Or look how he described what he can and cannot do. He says, I cannot do anything on my own, but only the will of the one who sent me. Or maybe just most pointedly, the simplicity, the utter simplicity of how he revealed who God is in the crucifixion, the utter simplicity of just revealing just God's self-sacrificing love for us. And so the more that we focus on receiving, surrendering, trusting, the more simple we become, the more simple our lives will become. And so by this, our lives can become a pure and accessible distillation of who God reveals himself to be. And that's exactly what we are called to do within the context of our call to holiness.
That's so beautiful. And, you know, now, always what I like to do is hear your long philosophical things that you say and then distill them for for Tom and I. I agree, it was beautiful the way you just laid it all out there. And this idea of finding God in simplicity is actually really something I think that goes to the heart of where our world is today. The way I see it, taking all this in, is that when we complicate our lives, it's harder to find God. It's harder to realize God exists. If we're distracted by all of the bells and the whistles and the flashing lights and the, you know, all the different things of the world, the complexities that surround us, we can not find God. We can lose God. We can not see that God even exists. And then we start chasing all these things that are not God. And that when we simplify our lives, so when we pare down, when we have that yard sale and empty the garage, when we get rid of the blunt, we stop worrying about how much money's in the bank and we start trusting that God is going to take care of us. When we simplify our lives in that way, there are so many examples of people who have done that, but the reality is when we do that, it's easier to see and more clearly can you see and experience and have a relationship with God in that way.
Yeah, and you know what? Just to expand on that, you said there are some examples of that. That's where my mind goes with this, is where are there any living examples of people that are doing this now that we might be able to imitate, like Mother Teresa or St. Francis or the Franciscan Friars?
People that actually lived and walked the earth and had the same issues or potential issues that each of us would have had.
Right.
Yeah, I would imagine there's those. So really all of the Catholic saints, at the end of the day, I think, Tom, I agree with you. They were able to distill. You know, you think about the principle, the concept that's the hermits or asceticism or where people they eschew all the things. John the Baptist, you know, go live in a cave. And you start thinking like, whoa, that's kind of crazy.
It's the Christian brothers,
but
Brother Joel.
Right. There is something about living a simple life and not having the all the burdens of some of the day-to-day things that you concern yourself with.
Mm-hmm.
And really, that's the path to sainthood.
Mm-hmm.
And we look at those saints, and I think we call them crazy by our standards, by the world standards. Most of the saints are wacky.
Yeah.
You know, you look at it like they're certifiable. St. Paul, I rejoice in my sufferings.
Right.
It's like, you're crazy. You know, he would have been in some kind of asylum somewhere, I think, because it just doesn't go with the way the world sees things.
Right. Well, and I think there's a call to simplicity from our Lord when he says, like, ye who are laden and heavy burden, you know, come to me and I will give you rest. Mm-hmm. You know, my yoke is easy, my burden light. You know, at the end of the day, God wants to simplify things for us. By the way, I want to go ahead and read the little journal entry that I did back in November, just to kind of bring things full circle.
And it started, if I was a tree, what kind of tree would I be? That was a different journal.
That was a different journal.
No, I do want to hear what you wrote, because I think it's not very long, but I think it's lovely. And and you listen to listen to these words now. Coming from the voice of Sam, came from the heart of Sam, which I believe it came from the Holy Spirit to kind of lead him in this direction.
Oh, well, thank you. Simplicity is a hidden transcendental that paradoxically captures within it all other transcendentals, truth, beauty, goodness, unity. Simple expressions of truth are the purest distillations of truth. Following from that, there is a beauty that comes with capturing that truth in the simplest possible way. Indeed, that is the standard for mathematical beauty and elegance for a reason. Following from that, there is likewise a goodness in making pure and beautiful distillations of the truth, presenting that distillation in the simplest way possible. Reason was created to receive truth,
The human person is to receive truth and be guided by truth and to command their will in accordance with the truth. Pure and beautiful distillations of the truth make that truth more accessible, allowing that truth to serve the common good to the highest degree possible. Likewise, there is a unity inherent to simplicity. A true and good and beautiful and pure distillation of truth speaks to a unity within that truth. And it likewise promotes unity by drawing the largest number of persons to that truth as can be drawn to that truth. Simplicity, by its very nature, has been hidden in plain sight all along as a transcendental of the transcendentals.
That was lovely. That was really good. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, there's if that's heresy, it's beautiful heresy.
He says it's so beautiful. If it's good, God gets the credit. I can only take credit for my mistakes.
If it's heresy, burn him.
Right. Well, and like I said, like I don't look at this as like a new transcendental. I look at it as a synthesis of the transcendentals.
Well, in a way to the transcendentals.
In a way, yeah, exactly.
A way of understanding the transcendentals. And I love this concept of simplicity, because within simplicity are all of these truth, beauty, goodness, and unity. They're all there. And as you were reading that, I was actually thinking about people who have come to me over the years and talked about trouble they're having in their family because one of their children has suddenly become an atheist and announced that, you know, I know that I was raised Catholic and I went to, you know, 12 or whatever years of Catholic school. And sorry, Mom, sorry, Dad, but I'm doing this. And I've had mothers in tears talking to me about this. And then they hear me say something. They'll come to me after a talk or whatever and go like, if only you could sit down with my kid and you could explain all these things that you just explained to me. And the reality is, the answer, I think, is simpler than that. I think the answer is, if you live in truth, beauty, goodness, and unity in your home, in your family, your child eventually will come around. They will see that. They'll see your love for what it is, total self-gift. They'll see the humility that you're offering them. They don't need to have 47 Bible verses to convince them that what they're thinking is wrong. They don't really even need to have all the reasons of, you know, logic and reason and all these things explained to them, because they're not in that receptive mode. They're not receiving what you're saying. And you're just complicating things with all these proof texts and all these things that are, well, I shouldn't say proof texts, but proofs for the existence of God, etc. Now, when they ask specific questions, you can give them specific answers. But the reality is, there's a simplicity to just love your children.
Mm-hmm.
Love your whoever's fallen away. Love your coworker. Love your friend. Love them just in the simplicity of, like, you know what? I know you got a lot going on, and we could probably sit around the kitchen table and talk about this for hours, but the honest truth is, like, let's just hang out, and let's just live life, and let's just try to find God that way.
Yes.
And rather than try to have there be a project that you're working on, because, you know, Lord knows all the home improvement projects that I've tried to do, they can get really complicated and I mess them up. And sometimes the answer is simpler, you know, than that. And it's like, just do the simple thing. Don't try to do the complex thing. And I just think this simplicity leads you to better appreciate the beauty in this created world, better appreciate all the good things that we can do, that we're capable of doing, and how that goodness can lead us closer to God, and certainly help you to better appreciate the utter reality of truth of who God is and what God is calling us into being and doing, and how we relate to each other and together in that unity. And you start to realize that I think simplicity is a description of the transcendental.
It is, yeah. I mean, the simplicity, if you're defining it as a pure and accessible distillation of who God has revealed himself to be, I think that is what it is. And I think God does speak to us in the most, I think when he comes to us in simplicity, that's when it's the most pure. That's when it's the most accessible. Like, you know, Paco Belcanin's an example. There's so many beautiful classical pieces that are out there, but that are more complicated than the Paco Belcanin. But the Paco Belcanin just lifts your heart to God. At least it does for me, because there's just this utter simplicity and beauty. It puts you into the life of heaven. Oh, Gregorian chant, another great example of that.
Well, and also think about not just things that are like beautiful, like in terms of music or art. Think of Einstein and his specific theory of relativity. He boiled this huge thing, the whole universe, down to E equals MC squared.
Yes.
And we look at that and go like, well, that's pretty simple.
Yeah, and he said basically, well, it's he said it's so elegant, it must be true. So it's like, it's so beautiful, it must be true. You know?
All right, so those are the things that, that I think when we see this, trying to live our lives more simply, we become a better witness to God. People can see more clearly God in our actions when we are simpler.
So we can carry this into 2025 as a New Year's resolution. Like, what can we do in our lives to make our lives a pure and accessible distillation of who God reveals himself?
Good idea.
Make a resolution to live life more simply, and maybe not go through all of these different iterations and all this complexity, whether it's the worldliness that we kind of fall into, but then also in terms of our spirituality, just getting down to the basics. Mm-hmm. You know, the kerygma. God loves you so much that he sent his only son, right? That you, to ransom you from sin, the slavery of sin, to allow you the freedom to love him. Just accept that simple, beautiful, total self-gift of God to each of us in this new year, and to live life simply, and to follow Jesus, and to follow in a way that's not complex. It's not hard to understand. It's the very, in fact, it's the very core of our being. Mm-hmm. All we want to do every single day is to breathe in and breathe out. And when we get hungry, we eat. When we get tired, we sleep. Life is simple. Life is simple. And when we live simply, then we know God and we have a relationship with God, and we can very easily share God with others. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and in the hour of our death. Amen.
Thanks for listening to the Catholic Cafe. If you'd like to contact Deacon Jeff, send him an email at deaconjeff@thecatholiccafe.com. Visit us on the web at thecatholiccafe.com. You can also find us on iTunes or follow us on Facebook and Twitter. The Catholic Cafe is brought to you by the Order of Malta Federal Association. Join us again at the Catholic Cafe, serving up salvation one cup of coffee at a time.